I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I'm Mike Lubega of MLB.com and MSNBC. And welcome to the Friday edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. The NFL season kicked off last night in Philadelphia, finally, after some really bad weather. And guys, I will just tee it up this way and say to you, thank God, when the game was on the line last night, Nick Foles was a better receiver than he was a quarterback and may have turned the game around because they went back to Philly, and got a big gainer out of it.
I sometimes the matchups that they put to start the season are just random. I thought that this was a really significant game to kick off the NFL season because both of these teams are question marks in my mind as to how good they are. I thought the Falcons, when they went into the Super Bowl against New England two years ago, were as an efficient and offensive machine as I had ever watched since the old St. Louis machine, you know, that under Dick Vermeil, that just looked like, you know, it was going to score every single time it touched the football. And from 28-3, the Falcons over New England, to now, Atlanta has been a wounded team. And I wanted to see if, okay, you had the whole summer off. Have you gotten over that hangover? And honestly, they look to me exactly like last year's Falcons team. They've got a tremendous amount of talent. Matt Ryan is a fantastic quarterback. Julio Jones may be the best receiver in the game. But when it counts and when you've got to put the ball in the red zone, they are not getting it done, including how many opportunities did Ryan have to get at the end of that game? They kept throwing flags to keep moving Atlanta closer and closer. Okay, if you can't get it in from here, move a little closer. How about here? How about here? And the game ends again with an out-of-bounds throw to Julio Jones, and they lose 18-12. Interesting game to me.
Well, I'll say this in defense of the Falcons. They came back last year. It looked like the hangover was going to steal their whole season. And Mitch, in the playoffs against the Eagles, they came closer to beating the Eagles than the Patriots did in the Super Bowl. I mean, they had a ball in the air at the end, the way Kaepernick had a ball in the air that time to win a Super Bowl in New Orleans. So they actually showed me something last year. The thing that's troubling, and I'm a huge Matt Ryan fan, and not just because he's a BC guy, is they gotta find him or convince him that when they get close to the end zone, he can throw the football. There's no rule that he has to throw it only to Julio Jones because it's like everybody in the stadium knows where the ball's going.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan or the OC? I mean, you know, somebody. I mean,
are you sure it's not the BC thing, by the way? I just want to be clear about that. You're sure it's not the BC thing?
Well, for me, it is the BC thing.
You're right about Matt Ryan, Mitch. I go back. Yes, it looked like no one could stop them all the way until the Patriots finally did in that Super Bowl. And the Falcons may never recover from that the way the Seahawks still haven't recovered from their own heartbreak, amazing loss to the Patriots in a Super Bowl. I'm just saying that the fact you can't just say that they've never recovered because they came as close to beating the eventual Super Bowl champions as you could be last year.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean anything if you've already been there and then you don't get it done.
I mean,
they're a great team. That's what's so frustrating with them. And I'll say this. Also, I'm not here to beat down on Matt Ryan. He's a fantastic player. I'd love to have him as a quarterback on any NFL team. But he gets sacked a lot for a guy who ought to know better. I always say if I can figure it out watching the game, then it's already too slow. Because a fan's reaction and a fan seeing things, unless a guy is blindsided, is slower than the players who are actually down there and feeling the game. And there were too many times in that game, including on the final drive, that Matt Ryan just took a sack. And if he's got that good an arm, he's got a laser arm, get rid of the football. I went back and looked at the Super Bowl, you know, sort of play by play earlier this morning to just see was this a problem for him in that second half and particularly in the fourth quarter. And it was. Multiple times when New England was coming back in that Super Bowl, Atlanta kind of surged downfield. Ryan would hit Julio Jones with a big hit, or Devontae Freeman would have a big run, and then he'd take a sack. and they would be out of field goal range. And you remember how close that game was. A couple of field goals would have made a difference. Yeah. And there it was again last night. And I wonder what's going on with him. You know, for a guy who's been around the league an awful long time, sometimes we all know at the quarterback position, it's the play you don't make that can end up advancing your team. You have to know when to get rid of the ball. And he goes down too much for a championship-level team. And to me, the Atlanta Falcons should be a championship-level team. But they got to get over this issue.
Bob, as a Philly guy, you have to love that we now have two plays that are as fun as anything in pro football with Philly in the title. One is the Philly special, and the other is the Philly. And actually, wasn't last night's play the one that the Patriots, Mitch and Bob, yeah, the Patriots tried to run until old Gramps couldn't run down the ball.
Well, you're not going to expect him to make a tremendous athletic feat with his lower extremities. That's for sure. I find this whole thing about Ryan very fascinating because it's not like, you know, it's his first year or second year or third year. Mitch, the bill of particulars that you're citing is rather startling for a man who has the paycheck that he has and who was a lightning rod among certain people in the media because of that paycheck and you know, debating where he really fits in the hierarchy of NFL quarterbacks, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Hey, Mitch, you know, don't you think it's interesting? Nick Foles did nothing to disavow any Eagles fan of the fact that they want Carson Wentz back. But what he did do last night is on a day... He won the game. He continues to win the game. And obviously Wentz is going to get his job back when he's healthy enough to play again. But Nick Foles just keeps winning the game.
Yeah. He wins the game with, 19 for 34, 117 yards, yeah, and a couple of sacks. Not exactly, you know, overwhelming numbers. But it was a first game. It was ugly. It was full of penalties. Even the announcers, you know, were commenting, again, another yellow flag. The thing went on forever because, you know, you're not ready when you first come out. And all right, sometimes you get that in the opener. But that one play, which, whether it's Philly or Philly special or whatever, that Nick Foles ends up catching a beautifully thrown ball so that he didn't have to stretch as Tom Brady did. There was no stretching. He catches. It wasn't for a touchdown. It just got him a first down. But it changed sort of the emotion of the game, and they turned that into it. And that's the kind of building block that you want to have early in the season, especially when you're coming off of a Super Bowl, to make sure you don't have that hangover. And it's exactly the kind of game you don't want to lose if you're Atlanta, because, you know, you don't want to start carrying that woe into September. By the way, Matt Ryan's numbers to back up what I said, 21 for 43, that's less than 50%, an average of 5.8 yards a throw, no touchdowns. Okay, despite all that offensive talent that he's got, he didn't throw for a touchdown, threw for an interception, and got sacked, as I thought, four times, 26 yards, quarterback rating of 12.4. That's not a guy, a $30 million a year or $25 million a year quarterback. And so, I don't mean to keep picking on Matt Ryan, but I find, and we're going to talk about New England, and we'll talk about Houston, and we'll talk about teams that are expected to do well. Atlanta fans have the right to expect their team to do well. When you look at it, you know, performing in moments in a game, it's a really good team. They are loaded with talent, including a defense that is really excellent. I mean, they held Philadelphia, you know, the total of 18 points, and for much of the game, it was 3 and 10 points. But they are not playing with confidence in the red zone, and that comes from their quarterback. So
except
I don't mean
that the Super Bowl champs didn't play with they seemed to play with less confidence on offense. It seemed like they thought they could win throwing 3-yard passes last night. And I'll tell you something else, and I forget where I read this, and somebody recalled something that Bill Parcells said about the, you know, this scamola that the NFL preseason has become. That was like watching a preseason game last night. We're watching one of the most entertaining offensive teams in the world, the Falcons, struggle the way they did. And we're watching a team that was a participant in one of the most entertaining Super Bowl games ever played both offenses last year, Patriots and Eagles, and it was nothing more than a glorified preseason game. And I don't know how we get around that, because nobody's ever going to play their best players in the preseason for fear of getting hurt. So this is what September looks like in the National Football League.
26 penalties. 26 penalties for 236 yards. That's a game. 236 yards. That's an entire offense for the Lions.
It's twice as much passing yardage as Foles produced.
Yeah, all right. Anyhow, it is one game. In the middle of the game, I forget it was the second or third quarter, the most anticipated commercial, certainly of the year and definitely of the week, ran for Nike, in which, narrated by Colin Kaepernick, and I think that for people who didn't follow it so much and just thought that this was going to be an ad campaign that had a poster of Colin Kaepernick saying, you know, believe in something even if you have to sacrifice everything. Here was Colin Kaepernick narrating the entire spot, which featured the likes of LeBron James, footage of him as a kid, and then him as an adult, Serena Williams, other athletes who have overcome different things. It was a typical Nike sort of heroic, the theme being don't even settle for being good or great, only settle for being the best ever. And then Colin Kaepernick turns around towards the end of the spot, faces the camera, and actually says the line, you know, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. Actually says it. And it's sort of summed up. I'm very curious your reactions to both this ad, once you saw it, and the notion of Colin Kaepernick being paid by Nike to deliver this message. I understand that he was at Nike's headquarters last night for an event celebrating this ad and watched the ad live from Nike. What are your reactions to this thing? I want to share mine, but I'd like to hear your guys first.
I think it's tremendous. I think it's tremendous. I think it's powerful. I think it's important. I think the faux controversy here is going to be all the people burning their Nikes. Go ahead. If you already spent $100 or $125 or $150 or $200 for a pair of sneakers and you want to make that kind of political statement by burning them, go ahead. I thought it was, I don't agree with everything Nike does. I've never been a particularly big Phil Knight fan. And obviously, nobody does this just for the love of the game. They think it's going to draw attention to them and their brand. And they're willing to ride out the insults from the president of the United States, who has already tweeted this morning, what was Nike thinking? And Mitch and Bob, this goes back to the idea that what Kaepernick did was never really about anything and impossible to define. Yes, it was always about something. And for him now to get the backing of Nike, as powerful and important a athletic gear brand as there has ever been in the history of the planet, I think it's great. And maybe people who will give it a fair hearing and a fair look We'll start to realize that despite the way he's been demonized by the president of the United States, Colin Kaepernick is like not somebody who came across the border looking to steal and kill people.
There's a lot to celebrate about Kaepernick and his beliefs. I agree with that. I am asking you guys, am I out of line for subscribing to the theory that it would be a lot more comfortable had he found another a way to express this other than putting forth goodwill about a company that has been accused of having workers around the world in sweatshop conditions, etc., that, you know, their hands are not completely clean in that regard, that you would rather not be associated with that company in that business with those kind of with that kind of backing. Am I out of line in suggesting that?
I do not think you're out of line. It's funny, Mike, because I listened to your comments and I agreed with a lot of what you said. I said yes, that's right, but I don't agree with the format in which it's been done, and I don't think it's wonderful. It made me uncomfortable to watch. First of all, here's a guy who does not speak very often. Okay, he tweets on occasion, thank you, bro, or thank you, friend, for, you know, supporting me. Hasn't done an interview with the media since 2017. He's not He does not seize every opportunity to go out and speak, and that is totally his prerogative. But now, getting paid apparently millions of dollars all along from 2011 since he's been signed with Nike, and now he delivers his message in a commercial that ultimately is not designed to do anything but sell Nike product. Let's be very clear about this. And Nike is not, Nike, don't, you know, people who say, yeah, but the commercial doesn't have sneakers. Their commercials never have sneakers. They are, will tell you, and they mastered this before a lot of other companies jumped on it. They sell image. That's all that they do. They want you ultimately to buy their clothing because of how you feel wearing it, not because it's made of the best rubber or it gives you the biggest bounce or all the rest of it. So for many years, they've already been in the image business. That's what they do. They sell image. And to go tell your message, and to, I haven't heard Colin Kaepernick's voice in so long. It startled me when I first heard it there. And he narrates the whole thing, and then he says that line. And that line was scripted for him. And the fact that some ad writer wrote this, but it was written by somebody else and it's delivered in a commercial. I'm telling you, it made me uncomfortable. It made me to feel that it's not the message wrong. It's the location of the, where it's suddenly being delivered, en masse in a Nike commercial. I don't buy Nike commercials. I don't buy Nike products. I totally agree with Bob that they have covered their sins for years and years and years, and I don't believe in them as a paragon of American virtue because they don't drop athletes when it's good for them. They didn't drop Kobe Bryant when he raped a woman in Colorado. They didn't drop Tiger Woods with his string of infidelities. These guys made them too much money, so they stayed with them. They're still with them today. So they clearly pick and choose their issues. And I don't turn to Nike for the American conscience. Nike is a brand making machine, and this to me was a brand making commercial. And while I agree with the message of it, I don't want Nike delivering that message to me. And I would have, me personally, would have liked to have heard Colin Kaepernick come out and say this in some other format other than getting paid to deliver it for a commercial.
Mitch,
were you?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say. I don't know about you guys. Excuse me. I was so stunned earlier in the week or whatever it was that we became aware of his association when Nike said he's going to be the face of the campaign, when this whole thing was introduced to us. Never dawned on me that at all. So that he was associated. I never thought about it. This hasn't been an issue over the last year and a half or two, whenever this whole thing broke. And I was just stunned. And I'm pretty much in total agreement with everything that Mitch just said. I wish he had a different forum, Mike. That's all I'm saying. I don't think this is a good forum for him.
Where's Colin Kaepernick? What forum are you guys proposing? Okay.
Well, how about having a press conference?
He can sit down anywhere in the world with anybody in the world would sit down and talk with him at this point. Anywhere. He could pick up every show, primetime TV show anywhere in the world, a primetime press conference. Anywhere in the world, he's the most sought-after interview in the world.
But this is classic whataboutism. This is like every political command. Okay, yes, so Trump did this, but what about what Obama did? Okay, yes, I'm aware of what Nike's record is. I am completely aware. But that last night, that was not just branding. That was a paid political announcement. That's exactly what that was in one of the most viewed television series that there is on the planet, which is Sunday Night Football, except it was on Thursday night this time. And if it takes them to give him some backing, I have no problem with that. Okay. This guy has lost his career. Let's not lose sight of what happened here. He lost his career because of his political beliefs. I can't remember, we'd have to go back to Ali to find another man who lost his ability to make a living because of his political beliefs.
Right, except you never saw Muhammad Ali saying, I have no quarrel with the Vietnamese and getting paid to issue it in a sneaker commercial.
But was that's 50 exactly years the ago. Difference. It was a different America, Mitch. It was a different world. It happened a half century ago with Ali. It happened in a world beyond where there was no social media.
That's chronologically true, but not philosophically any different. Do you take money to deliver your message to the public, or do you just make your stand? Yes, he lost his career, his football playing career. He didn't lose his career entirely, Mike, because anyone who's making millions of dollars from being who that person is, and it's tied to the fact that he was an NFL player who then was involved in this controversial event, is not exactly the same as a political prisoner sitting in a cell somewhere.
Well, wait,
so
wait,
I don't buy this sentence
that.
To
wait
begin with.
Come
I didn't
on.
Say you said it. I didn't say you said it. I said this is my take on it. I don't believe in even if it means sacrificing everything. We have witnessed people historically and even currently going on who really sacrifice everything, who really lose their physical freedom and lose their human rights and lose their ability to even express themselves. That's sacrificing everything. Not having a clothing line coming out with Nike.
Okay, you have to explain something to me. Because Bob, you can explain this to me. What really is pissing you off? What's pissing you both off about
Nothing's
Colin
pissing
Kaepernick?
Me off.
It sounds like
we're
it
having
is.
A debate. Well, it sounds like you are too. We're having a debate about this, and I don't think that this, for me, I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again, it made me uncomfortable that this was the forum in which he delivered this message. Whenever someone is, and we've talked about this forever in other avenues, when people are getting paid by somebody and then their message is incorporated in it, you always have to be a little more suspect than if there is no money involved. And I'm sorry, but millions of dollars matters. And a shoe company making a commercial for the purpose of bringing back an expression, Just Do It, to an audience of 15 to 17-year-olds, and that is by Nike's own admission, that was the purpose of this ad, to reintroduce the phrase Just Do It to 15 to 17-year-olds, not to show the world what's important in politics or taking a stand. It was a branding commercial for a phrase.
You think they helped their business last night, Mitch?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You think they sold a lot of sneakers last night? Because I don't.
Yeah, long term, I think they absolutely did because they're not interested in me or you or Bob. They're absolutely not interested in any of us. We're not buying Nike. They're interested in exactly who they came out and said. This is for 15 to 17-year-olds who don't remember when we introduced the phrase, Just Do It, and we want to hook them now when they're in the impressionable teenage years and get them to get into our brand of clothing and sneakers and shirts and sweats and all the rest of it and pay $200-$400 for stuff that costs $2 to make because this is when you hook kids like that at that age. So, yes, I think they sold a ton of sneakers because kids that age love this message.
You think they sold a lot of sneakers when Barkley said he wasn't a role model?
I don't know. Mike, answer your question.
I don't even remember, nor do I know.
That was a very famous commercial at the time. I'm not a role model.
Yeah, well, I imagine they probably did. If you go and chart their sneaker sales, I don't see Nike having huge pullbacks. I know they face a lot of competition. But I think they're very smart
move.
With what they do when they make their ads.
I don't think it was a popular move last night. I don't think it was a popular move at all. And I think the Trump's going to go after him because if people aren't kneeling, he's going to need an opponent during the NFL season. And now it'll be Nike instead of Colin. Well, he'll be able to combine Nike and Colin Kaepernick.
Mike, I am not pissed off. I agree with everything Mitch said. I am disappointed. I don't think, and I agree with Mitch, that this is the forum that best serves his altruistic posture to the world. I don't think this serves it at all. I think it can only detract from it for the reasons that we have cited. How they get done what they get done across the world is there. It's documented, and I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't give a damn. I don't own any Nike garb. But I'm just saying, I'm disappointed in him. I think he could have thought this out better. That's all.
I'm not disappointed at all in Colin Kaepernick's journey. And if he ever is behind center, in the National Football League again, then I'll admit that I was wrong, that these people didn't steal his career. And yes, he's still making money, Mitch. But quarterbacks, would he have ever been a $30 million a year quarterback? No. Could he have been a $15 million a year quarterback? Yes. He is never going to have a career in the National Football League ever again. It's not because he can't play. It's because of what he did. And to me, that remains a shameful thing. So if they got my attention last night, and they got the attention of some young kids, whatever their motives are or not. But if they shined a light on the fact that he did give up, you know, his career because of his beliefs, I'm okay with that.
No disagreement that he has sacrificed a great deal for something that he should not have been punished for at this length. The jury's out in my mind as to whether he'll play again. And this is just because I have learned not to say never anymore in this world. I just have. Until he's no longer physically able to play, I won't say that he never will. But this is not, I want to be clear, this is not a case of attacking the message or the messenger in this particular case. I believe in the message, and I believe in the messenger. In this case, for me, it's attacking the format. That's all. And I, as Bob has stated more eloquently, I would have preferred to see this in a different place. But it's not, I'm uncomfortable with the message. Not at all. I believe in the message. And by the way, they didn't originate the idea of, you know, sacrifice everything and believe in something. It's been said 1,000 times by more famous people over history than Nike. And I believe in what he has done and all that. So this is really about Nike and the stage, as opposed to Colin Kaepernick and the message. For me, I'm one person. I'm not telling anybody else what they should think. All right, let's take a look at the docket of actual football games coming up this weekend. And I threw out New England Houston as one that I'm definitely going to watch. I know the Giants in Jacksonville is interesting. Mike, I imagine for you, really interesting. What do you guys are, you know, if you had to pick that one game to focus on this weekend to watch, what would it
well,
be?
Well, you both know that from the time he started lighting up Nick Saban defenses, I've been a Deshaun Watson fanboy. And I thought anybody who took another quarterback ahead of him in that draft was dead wrong. I still think the Jets should have taken Deshaun Watson. I, you can't play the games that he played in the biggest possible stage in college football and not have game. And when he got hurt last year, there was as much MVP talk about him as there was about Carson Wentz. So I want to see in all ways if this young man has his legs underneath him, because if he does, and if J.J. Watt can stay healthy for a change, I think the Texans are going to be a very formidable football team this year.
You know, it's funny. Am I wrong? My gut feeling is that this is a highly unappetizing bunch of game matchups. It's a lot of blah. I mean, oh, boy. Baltimore, Buffalo. Oh, that's got my blood boiling going here. Denver, Seattle, right? Arizona, Washington.
Listen
oh,
to how God. Arrogant he is after
no,
all
I'm
these
serious.
Super Bowls.
No,
I see what's happened to him.
Well, what this would you have liked them now? To do, Bob?
No, I'm just saying. This is a weekend for the total football junkie diehards, because it's not for the people who, you know, for whom it's part of your menu.
You're so wrong about this.
This is a crap weekend, Michael. There's a bunch of crappy. Pittsburgh,
Mitch.
Cleveland. I'm so excited. The most interesting game, Mike, is the one you said it, and the Giants game. The Giants game, without question, because of the Barkley thing. Because I'm with you. Those are the
you're
two guys.
So,
there's a bunch of crappy
so
matchups that I don't give a damn about. Oh, the Rams in Oakland. Oh boy, I'm so excited. No, although
how many good? Wait a minute.
You're picking.
So
you're cherry picking. Like every
this
week,
is,
there's a
Mitch,
handful of
Mitch,
games. There's some great
here.
Games.
You're
right,
Ryan. First of all, you act like every Sunday during the NFL season, there's like 8 great games. It doesn't work that way, okay? First of all, you tell me as a sports fan, you don't want to see Jimmy Garoppolo go up against Kirk Cousins and the Vikings now? Come on.
You know what? The whole Kirk Cousins thing, I find that fascinating. Kirk Cousins, oh, God, you know, big deal. He's making a lot of money.
At least you find that fascinating. Oh, my
no,
God.
No, I do. No, I'm just saying. We'll get into that as the season progresses.
Let's I want to see the Seahawks and the Broncos.
Yes.
Let me
do a carnival.
Intervention. No,
let me
do
a carnival barker. Come on into the tent, folks. Here's what you got to see. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the battle of the NFC North that has been going on for 700 years since the Vikings invaded the free world. Chicago at Green Bay. You've got to watch that game. Let me show you Seattle and Denver with a quarterback that everyone thought was a journeyman and then almost went to the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. Now quarterbacking the Denver Broncos against the Seattle Seahawks. How about those Dallas Cowboys? How about them Cowboys taking on Cam Newton, the ever mercurial Cam
He's going
Newton
good now.
And
He's
Carolina?
Going good.
All right.
Going good.
And don't you want to see the world's worst defense allow Josh Darnold to have a wonderful start to his career when the Lions take on the Jets on Monday Night Football? I'm just scratching the surface. Saquon Barkley will carry the ball against the biggest surprise team last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are they going to be able to stop him? Is the defensive back and the trash talking going on against OBJ going to present itself in the game? I'm just getting started. Now, if you can do 4, 5, 6 games a week, and we also had a great one last night in terms of the matchups. And Houston, New England,
and a terrific
that's
game
pretty
that was
good.
Come on!
I'm not going to trash the NFL. We haven't even sat through a Sunday.
Mitch, I like some of these. You
games.
Know what's sad? You know, yes. Bob, he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Okay, and he obviously and he makes no secret of the fact that how much he loves baseball. Bob just doesn't have enough time to really follow or understand. Do you hear what I'm saying, Mitch?
Yes,
understand or appreciate. He obviously only has enough, brain power left to appreciate basketball and baseball. Because if you look down this schedule for the opening week and you cannot find 3 or 4 interesting games, which I actually think is a lot, then you're right. You should go to Fenway on Sunday and watch the Red Sox play the Astros. You'll be happy there. You'll be with your people there and not being confused by the National Football League.
I might give you 1 or 2, Mike, but you're not getting me to go 3 or 4. I am going to stick with my guns here. This is not an appetizing weekend. It's the beginning of it all. And when we find some things unfold by week 3 or 4, then we'll have some appetizing matchups.
What's your 1 or 2?
My 1 or 2, I am curious about the Giants and Barkley and Eli. I want to see Eli. I want to see what he's got
left. And Odell Beckham and Ingram, the tight end, and see if they're going to light it up this year against a good defense.
Mike, I have a question about the Giants. The Giants, are they hoping that it's going to be like 3-on-3 basketball, winners out? Is that how they're going to? Is that what they're going to hope the Giants? Because you know their offense. All we hear about is their offense. What about the other side of the ball?
No, they have. There are questions. I believe they've improved their linebacking. Ernie Accorsi, who pointed out, and he's not the only person that points this out. When they win the Super Bowl, they rush the passer and Eli makes plays. That was the formula.
That's right.
Twice getting a Super Bowl off the Patriots. But I think they're going to be they have a chance to, if they block for Eli, to be a light 'em up team. Now, can they outscore their defense? I have no idea about that. But they will be tested. They will be tested by the Jaguars on Sunday. So if that were just the only game on Sunday, you'd have a lot to look at. Because we talked about this the other day. Mitch, I talked about this with Ernie, who's one of my favorite people in sports. And he agrees. They've made a bet that Saquon Barkley and this offense can somehow get them back into a Super Bowl before Eli is ready for the old quarterback's home. That is the bet they made by taking a running back instead of a quarterback this year.
And you know, as weird as it is, I am looking forward to that because I'm kind of passed out. And I didn't mean that like I passed out, fell on the floor. I mean, I've been watching 400-yard passing games in the NFL for so long now. It's not even a big deal when a quarterback is over 350 yards in a game, but it's been a long time since I've watched a running back dominate a game and be expected to dominate a game. I find it kind of intriguing. I am going to set my DVR for that game for the sole purpose of watching Saquon Barkley try to run against NFL defense.
And Mitch, here's the thing, because I'm going to direct most of my football observations to you because of
Bob's bored.
Oh, because you can't abide an iconoclastic view. Is that it, Michael?
Bob is bored, and he checked out about 10 minutes ago. But here, Mitch, here's the other thing about Barkley. He can catch the ball.
Yeah.
He can catch the ball and then obviously do lots of fun things after he catches the ball. And here's how interesting Barkley is, guys. We're not talking that much about Beckham, who had become the most interesting and exciting non-quarterback in the whole sport.
Right.
And
if I just want to say, with regard to the Green Bay Chicago game, I'm well aware of the history surrounding that rivalry, but it would help in 2018 if the Bears actually had a viable team. So,
Bob, we thought you liked that game because you were there when they first started playing.
I well remember the Decatur Staleys, Mike. There's no question about that.
Wait a second. You mean to tell, not to jump off of, because I would like to finish on Barkley and Jalen Ramsey and all that, but you mean to tell me that seeing Khalil Mack in a Chicago uniform trying to tackle Aaron Rodgers isn't worth the price of
it? I want to see it, Mitch. Obviously, Bob does not.
Well, I mean, it's curious to see what shape Khalil Mack is in, and I think that's a very interesting signing, and I think it's good. But they need a hell of a lot more than Khalil Mack to get back in the conversation.
They do. But I do think that the Packers are a team to watch this year. We're all interested in, you know, how close that window is to closing up there in Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers needs to have a great season, and, you know, what kind of team have they put around him this year? So I find that game really interesting.
All right, put me on record, and you can replay this one back in December. The window is already closed. Take my word for it.
Window's closed. All right.
And Mitch, you brought up another
sometimes
one.
Sometimes looking through a closed window is interesting.
Mitch, you brought up another one, okay? Cowboys-Panthers is a really interesting game.
Oh, the Cowboys. Oh, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Oh, screw them. I'm tired of the Cowboys.
Wow.
I am so tired of the Cowboys. Stop me when they win a playoff game. Come on. I agree with you about I'm a big Newton professional fan, not a personal fan. Guy's a, you know, he's a jackass when the game's over, but he's a very dangerous player. Yeah, they're a threat. There's no question, but I don't want to hear about that. I'm tired of the Cowboys.
Mitch and Bob, okay, isn't it interesting? The Panthers were set up to be the next thing, okay? They had a 15-1 season going into that Super Bowl against Peyton, who could barely throw right-handed anymore. And Newton got beat up that day. And you talk about hangovers. Mitch, you talk about hangovers.
Yep.
Look at the hangover for the Carolina Panthers, who, Mitch, remember, we were talking about them like they were going to be the Golden State Warriors of the National Football League.
Yeah, no, the I don't mean to overly place burdens on a particular player, but that's Cam Newton's fault, in my mind. I mean, that's how big the quarterback position is. You are the team. You set the tone for the team. And Cam Newton's surge ahead, fall backwards, make great plays, make boneheaded plays, seem to be into it, seem to be out of it, weird personality, both on the field and off, has affected that team. If he was the great Cam Newton every moment, that team would be great. But, you know, when you yourself, look, we all know it's an unfair league in terms of positions. If your quarterback is erratic, you are erratic as a team. Nobody survives an erratic quarterback. You can survive an erratic cornerback. You can survive an erratic linebacker here or there, but you cannot survive an erratic quarterback. And when teams don't know when they're coming out, don't you think when the New England Patriots, whoever they assemble, whoever they pull out of the stands to play on their team, there's a little thought that goes through them and says, I'm on Tom Brady's team. It was like when we were kids and, you know, the best kid was the captain of the team and he got to pick and you got picked on his team. You immediately said, I'm on the right team. And it's the same thing as professionals. You feel and feed off of your quarterback, and he is not a guy to feed off of. And
no,
I think that's what's happened with
you're
him.
Preaching to the choir on and you know, again, I quote Ernie Accorsi a lot because he's had such a long and wonderful vision of this sport, okay? He talked about when Unitas was at his best, okay? And they would pull into the stadium on the road for a tough team, but whatever tough team they were playing. But he said there was always a level of confidence because he now calls it the Unitas seat. He said because on that bus, Johnny Unitas was sitting in his seat. And right. he knew that whatever else happened that day, he was going to give his team a chance to win the game. And Mitch, you're 100% right. I don't think people think of Cam that way right now. Now, he can change that narrative this year, but right now, you wouldn't list him as one of the six best quarterbacks in the league.
Absolutely not. And when your question coming out of the locker room is, which Cam are we going to get today? You're already on a shakier ground than some other teams. By the way, we mentioned the Cowboys, and you say the Cowboys are dull and uninteresting.
No, Ryan said that, yeah.
Yes, I said it.
Am I the only one who finds it strange that Dez Bryant is not playing football?
Yes. Yes.
You're not the only one.
I mean, okay, you know, maybe the Cowboys, he wore out his welcome, but is he not good enough to be? Now, this isn't a Colin Kaepernick thing. He's not being blackballed for political views. He's just somewhere lost between he costs too much and he's a little too old. But this is Dez Bryant. Did he just suddenly lose the ability to be a worthwhile football player? He's sitting out there. He couldn't even get on the Browns. I mean, the Cleveland hasn't been able to make a deal with him. What's the deal with Dez Bryant?
Bob, do you think people are just looking at him as Terrell Owens 2.0, who has a world of talent but isn't worth the trouble?
It has to be that, because even if he's not at his peak value, he's still, as Mitch just said, he's a viable NFL receiver. There are, you know, multiply 30 times 3 or 4, say that's 120 receiving WRs jobs out there, maybe even more, depending on how you configure your roster. He's not one of them? Come on. So, no, it must be. He's a pariah, apparently. I'm just throwing this out there. I didn't even thought about it until you brought it up, Mitch. Maybe there is something else out there that the insiders know that we don't know. You know, but you're right. If the Browns can, by the way, the Patriots are in very serious need of a receiver, and I don't. They didn't even give him a tumble, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's something that I know. He's a fiery guy. I know he can get in arguments with his own teammates and with his own coaching staff. But that since when has that caused 32 teams to shy away from a player? There's always some coach who thinks I can handle this, or some veteran team that says, you know, not when he gets here, he'll just be one of the guys. And that's just a mystery to me. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anything physically wrong with him. Everybody who goes down and sees him work out, he was in that TV show, the Hard Knocks thing, and he seems to be Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
But wow.
All right, let me raise another quarterback. And Mitch, as we continue to try to narrow this conversation to keep Bob engaged, okay?
Yeah, that's right. Our goal is to keep Bob interested.
And I appreciate that, Michael. Thank
you. I do. I know you do. I know you do. So this is sort of a Patriots conversation, even though it's not a Patriots conversation. Ryan, are you not at least curious to see what Mr. Garoppolo is going to do starting the season with his new team?
I'm a little curious, yeah. I mean, I'll say that, and of course. And the whole thing, it's an issue that will never go away until the respective careers of Messrs. Brady and Belichick are over, and one of them tells us what's going on or what went on there, and that fateful decision to trade him away for 50 cents or 60 cents on the dollar, which is what Bill Belichick did very uncharacteristically. Yeah, I am, Mike, but not enough that I'm going to, you know, move heaven and earth to worry about the damn game.
Well, you don't have to move heaven and earth. You just have to get the remote control and flip over to it.
And Mitch, you were skeptical. Even when Garoppolo was going good last year, you were a little skeptical about the small sample that we got from him.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
That's like, you know, go give us your analysis. I'm done. Wait a minute. You know, hang on a second. Things take time. And, God bless him. If he's got that much talent that has not been unearthed, then the 49ers pulled off what will be viewed as the steal of the decade.
Yeah.
But I am not awarding them a playoff spot. They have been perennially bad, the 49ers, in recent years. And we all know that one quarterback doesn't turn the whole thing around. So I'm watching that game. I do want to see Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. I mean, remember, Minnesota was a great team last year, not a good team, a great team that just fell short in the end in the NFC Championship game. And how quickly we forget, you know, who comes close to the Super Bowl. But they were great. And they, I said this the last time we were on, I've never seen a team trade its entire quarterback and core and come back with a new guy. It's never happened. The backup's gone. The backup to the backup is gone and the starter's gone. And Kirk Cousins now has a big target on his head because Kirk Cousins, you know, at Michigan State, you know, I watched him play for years. A great guy, family guy, you know, religious guy, terrific kid. And the kind of kid that doesn't excite people coming out of college like he's going to take over. But solid. You know, that's the word that you associate with him, solid. And he worked his way up. You didn't even know if he was going to be a starter in the NFL when Kirk Cousins came into the league. He was a backup for some team, and he worked his way into starting, and he worked his way into a pretty good career with Washington, and had all that stuff happen to him about the contracts and whether they're going to make him a franchise player or not, and now has gotten his moment. This is the moment. You're getting paid like the superstars. You're on a superstar team that perennially has great defenses, so you get the ball back. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to rise to this occasion, and are you the answer versus Case Keenum, to take the Vikings to the Super Bowl? That is a very good game, Bob, even if you don't want to watch it. And Minnesota is a very intriguing team. So I think we've talked enough about it because we'll talk about all these games on Monday after they've been played. But I think starting in your own backyard in New England, which, to bring this all back to where we began, is the most fascinating game to me because I really want to see the Houston Texans whole. I want to see them on solid legs. You're right, Mike, when you said, you know, Deshaun Watson for 4, 5, 6 weeks.
Oh, boy.
They averaged 40 points a game.
No. They've become the greatest show on earth, Mitch. They had. You couldn't. I remember watching one of their games when I was at the World Series last year. No, they were so much fun to watch, and he was so much fun to watch. And it made you rethink. You know, remember Dabo? We kind of rolled our eyes when he said he's going to be like Michael Jordan. He's playing like Michael Jordan.
Right. And let me tell you,
I want to see him healthy.
That mobile quarterbacks of this nature are historically troublesome to the New England Patriots. My curiosity there is going to see, when we last saw the New England Patriots, Tom Brady was throwing for 503 yards and they could not win the game. Why? Because they couldn't get anybody off the field. And it remains to be seen whether or not they have improved the defense to the degree where they can get somebody off the field of this nature. So that's going to be and of course the second thing for them is who's Brady going to throw to, but he'll figure something out there, I think. But I'm more curious about whether or not they have a defense that can stand up to Deshaun Watson.
Mark my words.
Mitch, one more thing about Garoppolo, by the way, and I wonder if we'll ever see a season again quite like the 49ers had last year where they started 0-9 and finished 5-0. That may never happen again in the National Football League. And so, yeah, I don't think they're going to – do I think they're a playoff team? No. But I'll tell you something else about the Vikings. And I was thinking this the other day when I was looking at the schedule and actually – finding it interesting and exciting, unlike other members of the panel. The most stunning result, other than the Eagles, you know, other than Brady coughing the ball up at the end of the Super Bowl, aren't you still surprised at how bad the Vikings looked against the Eagles?
Yeah.
In the championship game.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see what kind of hangover that has. That may be why they didn't mind, you know, cleaning house at quarterback because, again, you want, it begins there, and you do not want to carry that shadow into another season. Witness the Carolina Panthers. Witness the Atlanta Falcons.
Witness the Seattle Seahawks.
It's a big deal to lose a big game, even if it's not the Super Bowl. If you get trounced in a championship game, you need to change something in order to get that shadow off of you. And here's the last thing on Sam Football, and we'll talk about Serena Williams quickly before we get out of here. Mark my words, Bob. If Houston beats New England, that will be the game that everybody is talking about and the team that everybody is talking about on Monday morning. Because anybody who starts the season by beating New England immediately goes to the front of the class in terms of teams being talked about.
Yeah, so I know, and that's
we'll
probably
see on Monday.
That's probably true, but for those of us who are living in New England, knowing what the flaws and the vulnerability that this team has after the most unusual, to say the least, offseason in the Brady Belichick era, that's not going to shock everybody in New England if they lose this game. Trust me, everywhere else in the country.
Yeah. One more thing about the NFL, and it's not a sexy game, even for Mitch and me on Sunday, but we may have gone this whole conversation without talking about a team that thought it was good enough to go to the Super Bowl last year, except for a heartbreak, an epic heartbreak, historic loss, and thinks it can go this year. And that's the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints are loaded. And they went, they gave themselves a great, you know, we talked about Jalen Hurts the other day. They went and got Teddy Bridgewater as an insurance policy. The Saints think they can go to the Super Bowl this year, and they may be right about that.
Well, if they go, they'll be going with Drew Brees, not Teddy Bridgewater. But let's see what happens. But I agree, the Saints are a big story. And Michael, you're the biggest tennis fan of the three of us here, and we are set up for a terrific women's final.
Yep.
Now in the U.S. Open, I mean, Serena Williams is trying to make history here. In my mind, she's already the best to ever play the game on the women's side. And you know, technically, record-wise, she'll tie Margaret Court's 24 record. She already beat Steffi Graf's 22. She's a 23. But she's playing a really interesting 20-year-old named Naomi Osaka, who literally she has the demeanor of a sophomore in high school, and the giggling and the effervescence and the energy. And that how do you assess that?
Well, I was actually saying to my boys last week that I thought Naomi Osaka was ready to win a major, and I meant this one, okay? Serena has upped the level of her game through extremely difficult conditions. I'm going to talk about them in my parting shot. And, you know, she's about to turn 37 years old. And last night, she just ran her off the court after losing the first two games of the match. And then she remembered the way she used to play on this court, which was to attack, attack, attack. This is a great story. This is a great story if she gets to 24 here, because I don't know if you guys know this or not, and it's been so undercovered. She had a baby. Did you guys know that?
No kidding. Wow.
She recently had a baby who just, the little girl just celebrated her first anniversary. I can't believe, speaking of ads, Mitch, I can't believe there have been no television commercials about this. Or
never been spoken about.
Nobody's talking about the baby. So no, this will be a great story, but I do not think this is any kind of walkover. Osaka has beaten Serena in a final before, and she played so beautifully. I mean, she ran Madison Keys, last year's finalist, right off the court last night. No, I think this has a chance to be a very interesting women's final.
And she was so honest. We're so used to, especially in tennis, just these clipped responses and the canned, typical, you know, she played a great match, I did this. And they said to Naomi Osaka, you know, what were you thinking at the end there? What got you through? She said, well, I hate to say it, but, while I was out there, I was thinking, I really want to play Serena.
I mean,
out and said that. She said, I know it sounds crazy, but I really want to play Serena. And they said, why do you want to play Serena? And she said, are you nuts? She's Serena. I mean, come on. You know, she's the greatest of all time. So she's not intimidated by the idea of it. And boy, a 17-year gap in women's tennis.
Great.
Women's tennis, where we used to say by 25, you're done. A 17-year gap is unheard of in a final of this magnitude in women's tennis. And that speaks to Serena Williams.
And by the
Williams.
Way, how about when they asked her if she had any message for Serena? She said, well, yeah, tell her I love her.
I love you. Yeah, I love everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be a great final. All right, it is time for our parting shots, and Mr. Ryan leads off.
You know, American golf fans are fixated on the so-called majors. But across the pond, what matters most in the world of golf takes place at the end of this month at, I love this, Le Golf National, outside of Gay Paris, Guyancourt. And now, of course, I'm talking about the Ryder Cup. Now, European captain Thomas Bjorn, I can't look at him without thinking of Tommy Lee Jones. Check it out, by the way. He has a team with five Ryder Cup rookies. So he's risking some possible censure by naming as his four captain's picks four veterans, some of whom aren't exactly having great years. They are Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, and Henrik Stenson. Now, the Euros have not lost this competition at home in 25 years. And I cannot stress to you enough how important all this is to them. Bjorn's four picks have played in a combined 20 cups, earning 48.5 points. Trust me, this is very serious business to them. Tommy Lee's lookalike isn't messing around.
It wasn't just the conditions, the oppressive heat and humidity, and a court at Arthur Ashe Stadium in particular that is about as ventilated as the sauna at the New York Athletic Club, that made the U.S. Open so often ridiculous over the past 2 weeks. It was the scheduling as well. Twice during the 2 weeks of the Open, men's matches, stop me if you've heard this one before, finished past 2 in the morning. That's not just ridiculous, it's stupid. Tell me another sport that ends at that time of the night. Both matches were dramatic and reminded you that tennis players might be in the best shape of any top athletes we have. The one between Rafael Nadal and Dominic Thiem was one of the great five-set matches I've ever seen at a major just because of the quality of play and reminded me again of Jimmy Connors' great line to me once about Nadal. Jimmy said he plays like he's broke. He still does. But the object of the game isn't to play until somebody is broken down at the end. And by the way, it's a good thing we play a tiebreaker in the fifth set here as opposed to what we saw at Wimbledon this year. Sometimes I wonder if we should still play five sets at all.
I so agree with you. I know Burt Reynolds may not have been movie critics' favorite actor, but I want to say this. He pulled off something most male actors are weak at, bad at, or just terrible at. When he played an athlete on the screen, he actually looked like an athlete. Sure, it doesn't hurt that Reynolds was a promising running back at Florida State before he got hurt and steered his career towards the movies. But as a result, the times he carried a football in semi-tough or the longest yard, he actually looked like he knew what he was doing. Consider other alternatives. John Goodman as Babe Ruth. William Bendix as Babe Ruth, Ronald Reagan as George Gipp, Ryan O'Neal as a boxer. There's a long list of you gotta be kidding me actors who have played athletes. At least Reynolds moved like an athlete and in many cases talked and acted like one. He was comfortable with football types, and he certainly lived a high life that would have made Joe Namath jealous. By the way, I always thought he was a perfect choice for Billy Clyde Puckett, one of the greatest characters ever created by a sports writer in a novel, the wonderful Dan Jenkins. The movie might have had a mediocre script, but who wouldn't have wanted to huddle up with Billy Clyde? And the best part, when they filmed Reynolds scoring a touchdown, you didn't cringe. He will be missed. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. We do it every Friday and Monday, so just in a couple more days, we'll be back with football results.
Yeah, Ryan.
Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be back into it by Monday morning.
football, it's baseball season, guys.
Okay, that too, and tennis. So lots to talk about. If you enjoyed what you heard, please leave us a comment. If you didn't like what you heard, please leave us a comment. Either way, we love hearing from you. Tell your friends they can get this podcast wherever they get popular podcasts on the web. And until Monday, when we see you again with Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying have a terrific weekend.